This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, Joycers. It is time for your very own show about pets. It is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home team. We just want to say a big hello to Yvonne and Cynthia from Mount Evelyn who are tuning in. They gave Betty a call to say hello. So hello to you guys. I'm Kev, and joining me in the studio this week is the lovely Oz.
Top of the afternoon to you, Kev. How are you going?
Top of the afternoon to you as well. Very good. Thank you very much.
So we are packing the boxes and loading up the moving truck as we talk renting with pets all throughout the program today. In Australia, more than two-thirds of households own pets, and we have one of the highest incidents of pet ownership per household of any country in the world. This comes as more and more people are moving from the property market, like purchasing properties because they're so expensive, to rentals.
And whilst finding pet-friendly rental accommodation, be it a house, maybe a unit or an apartment, it can be, you know, a bit difficult at times. It's not impossible. So we're going to be talking about that today. Today on Pets Allowed, we're looking at where your pets fit in the renting equation.
We'll hear from a St Kilda real estate agent who is a pet owner and is also currently renting.
We will be exploring tenants' rights, how to increase your chances of having your application approved as well.
We'll be providing advice on choosing the right accommodation to suit your pet.
And we're going to be looking at a couple of alternatives if you can't rent with your pet.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
Hot off the press, actually, is a fantastic little email that we received from Ian of Fitzroy North. He just became a member, Kev.
Don't forget, it is still Radiothon. You have until the 30th. What month is it?
Of June. To become a member of this fabulous station, Joy 94.9. You can do it by logging on to joy.org.au or calling 1300-JOY-949.
That's right. And hot off the press is from the Lost Dogs Home news reel. We had our blanket appeal. If you're a regular listener of the show, you would hear that we were calling out for blankets. We had a massive response over Facebook, and we've had heaps and heaps of blankets coming in, but we just want to point out, we don't want people to stop. We need more. We're always going to need more.
We've welcomed this blanket avalanche, haven't we?
Absolutely.
But we can welcome some more.
That's right. So, it was unusually warm weather this sort of winter, so people weren't thinking about the pets at the shelter. But we've had lots coming through, you know, daily having to change the donation bins, making sure that we had enough space to take all these blankets. We've had companies coming forward with 500 to 1,000 blankets. So, yeah, we've had plenty coming in. So we're going to thank everyone who's been donating and, yeah, keep up the good work with those blanket donations.
Now, if you would like to download a poster to display at your school or your community centre, do jump onto dogshome.com and click on the blanket appeal story, and we've got a PDF there that you can download and print.
And now, Oz, we're going to a bit more of a sombre story. Now, most people would have grown up with Spot the Dog, and there's some sad news for Spot the Dog fans.
There is. Unfortunately, Eric Hill, the author and illustrator of Spot, passed away this week at the age of 86 in California. It's been met with a lot of sadness, really. And even just around the office when we got the news, we were all pretty saddened by this. But also found out quite a bit about Hill himself. He worked as a designer and illustrator before coming up with the iconic Spot, the dog character for his son. So the actual premise of the idea came from there. He wanted to pull together a book that would entertain him and teach him lifelong lessons, I suppose.
Very interesting that was in 1980, when he was about age 50.
Quite later in life and in advertising. And he'd done a lot before that. He was employed by the Royal Air Force before taking a job at an advertising agency, which would have been an awesome time in advertising. We're talking about the 60s and 70s, I suppose. Hill was born in 1927. And he's left behind, obviously, a lot of sad fans and family as well. But we've got the books to remember him by, and people pass it down generations you know, the book that I have has been passed on to my niece and then the youngest niece. So
yeah, I used to have a little Spot toy when I was a kid.
Did you?
Yeah, I wonder if it's still around somewhere. So Eric Hill, you know, yeah, you will be very, very missed.
And he's the name Spot.
That's right.
Is used at shelters like ours, and everyone, it's kind of like a default name for a lot of Dalmatians. Spots.
Very, very true. Now, every week on Pets Aloud, we do like to do this little segment.
This week's Pet of the Week.
And we have some great news about our Pet of the Week from last week, the lovely Alma, the three-legged cat.
Yes, Alma, the delightful Alma has been adopted. A fabulous adopter came into the shelter over the weekend, fell in love. We were all in love with Alma. There's no secret about that, but it was fantastic to see that someone else shared that and took her home.
Excellent. But let's talk about this week's Pet of the Week, Oz. It is the lovely Dreamweaver.
I need you to sing that.
Dreamweaver. That's all I can remember of the song. I don't know how the rest of it goes.
Well, Dreamweaver is a black and white, gorgeous male cat, 3 years old, and is absolutely a bundle of smoochiness. When you go and meet him, you are greeted with lots of kisses and little sniffs, and he's quite inquisitive. He is also a bit of a cat dog in some respects. He likes a bit of a rough play, which is, you know, something that I really love in cats. So if you sort of connect with cats that aren't so perhaps, I don't know, what's the word, prissy or whatever, but you like them a bit sort of rough and tumble,
a bit shy,
Dreamweaver is the cat for you. So do check him out on our website. His animal ID number is 966921.
So our website is dogshome.com, and he is also at our North Melbourne shelter, currently looking for a new home. Coming up on the program, Oz and I are going to delve into talking about renting with pets. Now, joggers running with their dogs along Beach Road and adoring pet owners showing off their pooches along Ackland Street is somewhat synonymous with the Melbourne waterfront suburb of St Kilda.
The Port Phillip Bay Council has one of the highest concentrations of pet ownership in metropolitan Melbourne. This comes while just under 80% of dwellings are flats, and a good portion of these are rented.
Now, to find out with what it's like renting with pets in the St Kilda area, Oz caught up with local real estate agent, pet owner and renter himself, Nick, recently.
We've seen quite a jump in the number of people that are looking for rental properties that are pet owners. I'd probably say about 25 to 30% of all applicants that do come through these days are seeking residency with a pet.
That's quite a high amount of people.
Yeah, it's definitely increased since I started about 5 years ago. I'd probably say it's almost doubled.
And in terms of the success rate, how do they go with getting successful with their rental applications?
I'll probably say about 70% of all applicants with pets are approved, providing that the applicants' reference checks have all come back and proven quite positive.
And so that's a huge success rate. What do you attribute this to? I mean, are rental seekers becoming perhaps more savvy in ways to present their case with their pets?
Well, I guess there are a lot more people nowadays that do have animals. I mean, you're always seeing people walking down the street with dogs. In terms of the way that people are presenting their pets to us, we do see some quirky applications along the lines of including a resume or some headshots for their animals.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is there one in particular that sort of caught your attention?
I have seen one of a really furry old cat that didn't look quite happy wearing a clown hat and a collar.
Oh, poor thing.
I know.
Who would?
Quite cute, though.
And in terms of landlords, are you noticing a bit of a positive trend?
Yes and no. I mean, as I mentioned, with a lot more people these days having pets, we are putting it forward to the owners more these days, and with the 70%, you know, approval rate, they are a little bit more willing to do so, but you're always going to have your properties where, you know, landlords are quite strict on having pets, and some landlords can be quite hesitant. But with all approved pets, we include a pet clause in the tenancy attributing, you know, the responsibility to the pet owner to ensure that the property is returned in the same condition that it has been given to them, so that can sometimes push the application over the line.
What does that clause exactly include?
Just assuring that, you know, that the property is kept within reasonable standard while keeping the pet on site. Just meaning that, you know, it's not urinating all over the carpets or scratching the floorboards or chewing at timber door frames or skirtings. Definitely a main area of concern is damage to the property. I mean, landlords are always looking to update and improve their properties, and polished floorboards is one of the first things that usually gets done, so there are some concerns with regards to those being scratched. You know, smell can contain within the carpet, and also nuisance to neighbours is of concern to some landlords as well.
You're tuned in to Pets Allowed, and all throughout the program today we're talking about renting with pets. Currently joining us on the line is Nick, who is a real estate agent in St Kilda and also a pet owner. What do you think is the most important thing people that are seeking rentals need to consider when they have a pet? What should they be doing first?
Be open and upfront when applying for a property with a pet. Lying on application and sneaking a pet is not going to do anyone any favours at the end of the day, unfortunately, and it is pretty soon discovered if pets are being kept on site without permission from the owner. So, you know, be upfront and be honest about it. So if you're applying for a property and know that you have a pet, hopefully you've been upfront and honest with your current agent as well. That way when we're doing our reference checks, you know, we can confirm that there is no damage to the property, that they're not a nuisance to neighbouring properties or anything like that.
And does it, in a sense, help you sort of narrow down properties that might be best suited to them?
Most definitely. I mean, you have to be smart about the property that you are applying for, you know, with that reference behind yourself, not just for yourself but with your animal as well. It is definitely going to point us in the right direction to put that positive reference to the owner to approve the application.
Fantastic. And do you have a pet of your own?
I actually do, and I am a renter myself.
Well, what has your experience been like?
I mean, there are some difficulties with some owners, and especially in apartment living, which I am in myself, but just like everything I have explained, I have signed a pet clause for my animal to be kept within the property. There is no damage, no nuisance or reports to the agent to say otherwise, so everything is sailing smoothly.
And in terms of your next rental, are you sort of concerned when you move on next that it's going to be harder for you to find a place?
Yeah, no, I guess there is a little bit of a stigma out there where people automatically assume that just because they have an animal that their application is going to be automatically denied. So moving forward, if I ever do decide to move property, you know, it is something that I'm going to be upfront and approach the, you know, prospective agent about and let them know what's happening. Maybe I might even take that avenue of dressing my dog in a clown suit and see how that goes as well.
You go to any sort of length to make that home yours.
Yeah, exactly. But have a bit of fun with it at the end of the day.
All right. Well, look, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That was Nick there, a St Kilda real estate agent and proud pet owner and renter as well. We are packing the boxes and loading up the moving vans as we're talking about renting with pets. Now, whilst finding pet-friendly rental accommodation, be it a house, unit or apartment, can at times not be easy, it's not impossible. It's also not impossible to get a pet if you're currently living in a rental property.
That's right. And we do want to hear from you. Share your experiences with us. We can all learn from each other. You can text us on 0427 JOY 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Now, in terms of your rights as a tenant, when renting out a property, a landlord or owner has the right to choose the most suitable applicant. These decisions may be based on factors such as applicants' rental history and so on. However, they can't discriminate against your age, your gender identity, your marital status, those sorts of things, but they do actually have a pet clause in a lot of rental agreements.
Now, these are generally a standard clause that have been put in, and they're something that people just assume is there, that it means they can't get a pet. Now, what most people don't realise is that it comes standard and you can just talk to them and usually they will remove it. So it's all about talking to your landlord or the real estate agent, because in Victoria, there's actually no laws directly covering pets in tenancies or in residencies. It is possible to include the clause in the lease, but only if they could harm the property, be a nuisance to other residents or neighbours, or break local government laws. So that means that they're not actually allowed in that area. Now, if your tenant or resident has a pet or intends to get one, you do need to get that permission first. Mm. You do need to talk to your landlord and get that permission, because it's important. You know,
definitely.
They need
and
to
we
know.
Will be detailing that shortly. A tenant or resident may be issued also, you need to keep this in mind, with a breach of duty notice if their pet has caused damage or nuisance. The notice may require the tenant or resident to get rid of the pet, so that's obviously not a nice outcome. Also, if you persist to the owners or the landlords have the right to be able to issue a warning. So you don't want it to get to that point. If if you want more information on your rights, you can check out consumer.vic.gov.au. So that's Consumer Affairs Victoria. The Tenants Union Victoria also has some information at tuv.org.au.
Now, Oz and I both have experience with pets in rentals, but we've both got slightly different. Oz, you just adopted a cat whilst you're currently living in a rental situation. How did that go?
That's right. Well, look, it was after long consideration. You know, I've been working at the Lost Dogs Home for almost 2 years
now. Yeah, you did well to last that long.
There were lots of moments where I did want to take a cat home. But I needed to be on the same page as my partner, and he just wasn't ready. And finally, when we were ready, that's when we decided to firstly contact our property manager and just say that we were thinking about this because we're currently in there, and we were happy to stay on, and we felt like the apartment was a good size for a cat as well. Once we had that sort of chat, I was told to put in a letter, and I made a bit of a compassionate plea, really, to say that we'd met a cat and we really wanted to give this cat an opportunity to live with us and a future with us, and basically outlined a bit of the cat's personality as well from what we could gauge at the home, in terms of its temperament, that it wasn't really loud, it wasn't a big meower, a big talker, but also that the cat was going to spend predominantly most of its time indoors and, you know, sometimes on our terrace. So those points I put through, knowing that they were probably things that they would ask anyway. And they got back to me pretty quickly and they were quite positive. They did give me just a couple of points that I needed to sort of consider. So just basically one of them was that the cat is not allowed on common property, but to remain within confines of a private lot at all times. If at any time a complaint is received, then, you know, action might be taken and
talk
so
about
forth.
That
so
with you, yep.
Yeah, so they were the conditions that were placed, and overall it's actually been quite a positive experience because I've opened up and talked about it.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of landlords are concerned about damage to the property and that kind of stuff, but we are going to be talking a bit about that very soon.
Now, with you, Kev, you also are renting. You actually went out to seek a pet-friendly rental.
Yeah, so when I was moving, I had a dog that I needed to take, and it was no matter of leaving the dog behind or anything like that, so I had to find a rental where I could take a pet. Now, one thing that I've experienced is when you're looking online and you try and click, like, pet-friendly, you get a very limited amount. Now, the thing is, a lot of places are pet-friendly, they just don't advertise themselves as such, so I have really good landlords that love the fact that I have pets. I didn't have to do anything extra. I just signed, as you would have, the tenancy clause that says I have a pet and if it does damage something, then I will pay for it. That's going to come out of my bond and that kind of stuff. I think the most important thing that I learned was just to be open and honest with your landlord as well as the agent that you're going through as well.
And you found out that they're actually pet lovers too.
Yeah, absolutely. my landlords love my dogs, and whenever they come around, because they do my gardening, they come around, they want to see the dogs, they want to pat the dogs, and they want to get to know a bit more about them. So yeah, absolutely, it's really great to see that there are people out there that are pet lovers that they are concerned about the carpets and that kind of stuff, but as long as you're looking after the property well and they do have that option of your bond. We will be talking about pet bonds, which exist,
yes,
but not fully in Australia just yet. We'll be talking about that very soon. But yeah, it is a very important thing to be open and honest and not try and sort of dodge around it, because I have had people that have tried that, and once the real estate agent finds out, they can, you know, turn nasty.
That's right. And just at this point, if you are thinking about adopting two from the Lost Dogs Home, you do need to come along with your rental agreement to show that your landlord has accepted or is aware of the fact that you are adopting a pet.
Yeah, we just need permission from your landlord, whether it's verbal or whether it's written permission as well.
Yeah.
So just so that we know that, you know, you are going to be bringing a pet into a home that you're allowed to have one. Okay, we're going to be talking a bit more about sort of the things you could do to help you out when you're looking at renting with pets.
The world's most uplifting radio station. Joy 94.9.
You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. We've had another membership sign up. It was Bianca from Blackburn North. Don't forget, you have until the 30th to sign up as a member and get in for those radiothon prizes. You can do that via joy.org.au or 1300-JOY-949. Now, we have been talking all throughout the program today on renting with pets. Now, one thing to that is important to remember is that when you are looking to rent with a pet, it might take a little bit longer to find that perfect rental property for you. But there is one way that you can sort of speed that up, and that is by developing a pet resume. Mm. Oz, you've been looking at some pet resumes recently.
Yeah, look, I think the really good ones are where people have sort of capitalised on their talents. Recently in the paper, there was an article about a graphic designer who created a digital page that was basically a resume that he could just send links to in his application, and then they could just look it up and... the concept was interesting.
Yeah, he was doing sort of the commitments that he had as a pet owner, yeah, and what he was going to do and what he was going to, what commitment he was making to that landlord. Now, that's something you can think about if you are also thinking, I want to get a pet. I'm currently in a property and I want to get a pet, is what commitments can you make to that landlord, to that, you know, real estate agent about the pet that you're going to get? You know, I'm going to make sure that this happens, that I'm going to walk them every day, that I'm going to ensure that they don't scratch the furniture, that they've got plenty of stimulation, that kind of stuff. So that's a really important thing to think about.
It is, and it's a clever approach because they're the sort of things that they're thinking about, really. So it's a really good way to sort of tick those boxes with them. But some of the important things that you should still include are like a physical description of your pet, so the name, breed, size, age, that sort of thing. Medical records are really good too. Behaviour and training details, so just to show that, you know, your dog's been to puppy school and
that's right,
is toilet trained, bathing and grooming details. So, you know, some dogs might shed a lot. So just showing that you do regularly groom your dog or your cat too, actually, would be of an advantage so that they know, you know, it's not going to affect the carpet and so forth. And exercise and socialization details. So, you know, get some references in there. Get your family on board or friends or,
your groomer, your dog club.
And get them to just write a couple of words and maybe whack in some photos there as well. It's just about personalising this and connecting with the landlord and property manager.
I mean, just like you have references as a tenant, you can provide references for your pet as well. Now, as we mentioned earlier, there is such a thing called a pet bond. Now, currently, Western Australia is the only state which has pet bonds formally recognised in law. So that's where tenants are given permission to keep a dog or a cat, but you pay an additional amount of a security bond just in case. Mm. So somewhere like Victoria, it's just your security bond. But what you can also do is you can offer to say, I'm going to pay $10 extra of rent a week. I've had personal experience with that. Mm. When I first wanted to get a dog, I said, look, we are wanting to get a dog when we move into this property. Are we able to pay, say, $350 a week instead of $340? Can we get a dog? Yeah. And the landlord came back with yes, as long as you sort out the fences in the backyard so that the dog can't escape. So there is that as well. And even seeing if you can arrange a face-to-face meeting with your rental thing so they can meet your dog in person or meet your cat in person.
Oh, definitely. There's nothing like that tangible experience. So it's lifting it off the paper and making a real-life experience for the landlords.
Now, if renting and owning a pet is not something that you can do because, you know, your landlord doesn't accept it or anything like that, there are other options. Do not despair. You can get your pet fixed. You could come down to somewhere like the Lost Dogs Home, volunteer, walk our dogs, pat our cats. There's plenty of options for that there too. Things like foster care, they might require you have the pet in your home. So generally that needs permission anyway. Dog walking, that kind of stuff. Get out there, meet some other dogs, meet some of your friends' dogs. There's always ways to get around it. Now, we have talked about the program before. We've talked about our finishing school.
The Lost Dogs Home and Planet Canine have teamed up to create a finishing school for those dogs who need just that little extra bit of guidance before heading into the adoption pens.
And Oz, finishing school is actually a great way to get your daily dog fix if you are looking at volunteering, because at the Lost Dogs Home, we require volunteers who help us. And it's also our staff, but we have a dedicated team of volunteers that are working with the dogs at finishing school, providing that consistent training as well.
Recently, Kev caught up with dog behaviour specialist Nicole Beasley to learn a bit more about the program.
I'm here with trainer Nicole Beasley from Planet Canine, and we're up to week 5 of the finishing school program, but I was away for when this program started. How does finishing school work?
Okay, you'll love this program. I love this program. The finishing school program enables dogs and people to be trained at the same time. So it's an intensive four-day program in which five dogs are trained and prepared for adoption, but they're trained by many people. So we can have up to 40 people involved over that period training the dogs. And they're volunteers, they're Lost Dogs Home staff, they're Planet Canine trainers who take part. On a Saturday morning, Nola Pollard and I, we meet the dogs, and we have five dogs each week. So we have a look at what their needs will be and sort out a program of training for each of the dogs. We have volunteers come in, and these are people who are really passionate about dog training. Some of them are dog trainers, and they put the dogs into group class situations straight away. So they have about 3 hours of training in the morning. Then in the afternoon, we have another group of volunteers that come in and work with the dogs, and we repeat that on Sunday. Then on Monday, everyone on the campus of the North Melbourne Lost Dogs Home is invited to participate in the program. We run classes in the morning, and they're attended by animal attendants, vet clinic staff, people in your communications team. Everybody comes and has the chance to work with the dogs. They also receive training in the afternoon and of a night time. Basically, we have lots of people doing the same thing, using the same consistent, kind approach with the dogs. And this is so much more beneficial than just having one person train the dogs. For instance, if I trained a dog, prepared this dog for adoption, the dog could look like, you know, the best dog in the world, but then you hand it over to someone else and the dog's likely to receive inconsistency and kind of revert back to its original behaviour. So this way, the dogs are learning, we're all on the same team, we're all giving you the same messages, we all want the best for you.
And it sounds like you've got a varying mix of people who are well versed in training, as well as some that are learning for the first time
And the good thing is, even the most experienced trainers can learn something, because shelter dogs bring so much to the table. You know, there's so many different types of behaviour that we're working with. So even if you're the most experienced trainer in the world, you can still learn something from these dogs. And then, of course, the people that come just with a clean slate that know nothing, you know, it's a fantastic opportunity for them to learn really, really quickly.
What are some of the problem behaviours that you are seeing come through?
We tend to get dogs that are, you know, around 2 years of age that have never had any training at all. They have, you know, bad habits. They're maybe barking and lunging at other dogs, pulling on the lead, rough with their bodies. Really, it's not their fault. They just haven't ever had anybody clearly explain, you know, how they would like them to act. And then after a period of time, people, you know, become distressed by the dogs and surrender them to the shelter. So rather than just re-adopt them out, it's a great opportunity to fix up some of these behaviours and then send them on to a new home.
Can you tell us about some of your success stories? We've talked about on the program, we've had Coco, Gizmo and Cooper. How are they going now?
Yeah, Coco was fun, wasn't she? She was a chocolate Labrador who really had just been used as a breeding dog. And it was such a shame because she was a highly intelligent dog, but a really anxious dog too. So Coco really had spent most of her life in this highly excited, agitated state, not really being able to understand a different way to be. She really benefited from having lots of people work with her and just really encourage her to just calm down a little bit. And once she calmed down, then she was able to learn things like how to greet dogs politely rather than just barking in their face, how to get attention from people by sitting nicely rather than jumping all over them.
And a big part of the finishing school program is video. We are doing a video each week.
Yes, yes.
Which you can see on our Facebook page or on our YouTube channel as well. Are you finding that really beneficial as well?
It's been fun for me because I've had the chance to learn how to make videos too, which has been good. But yeah, I think it's a good way to kind of involve even more people in the training. You know, you don't need to physically be here to be involved. You can join in by watching in the progress of the dogs each week.
And it's something that you can then apply if you are seeing those behaviours in your own dogs.
Yes, because they're really common behaviours that we're working with.
Thank you so much for joining us on Pets Allowed today, Nicole. Okay.
Thanks, Kev.
If you wanted to find out more about volunteering at the Lost Dogs Home and our finishing school program, you can check all that information out on our website at dogshome.com.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. joy.org.au for the world.
It is 10 minutes to 1. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Throughout the program today, we have been talking about renting with pets. So if you missed any of that, if you have any questions, you can check out our podcasts online at joy.org.au/petsallowed. And you can also find all our details on there to contact us as well. Now, each month I am sort of looking at a segment, different segments on pet technology. Now, Oz...
I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, I know. So welcome to this month's edition of Pets Allowed Pet Tech, covering the latest in technology for your pets. So in the last year, we've seen the number of wearable devices hit the market aimed at assisting humans in getting fit and active. I should know. I have two of them on right now. Yeah, two. I don't know why either. So they track everything from steps to flights of stairs, calories, and can tell us if we're spending too much time inactive. Mine does it to me. It tells me you...
Does it
time
zap
to
you?
Get up. It doesn't zap me. It just flashes at me and it says, you've been sitting down for too long. Get up off your butt. And I don't listen to it.
But they actually, you know what? They look good though. Like they're not sort of in your face.
Yeah, they're not bulky.
They're not bulky.
You know, one of them looks very space age and flashy. Yeah. So it's very, very cool. Now, with all this focus on health and fitness, it was only a matter of time before companies started developing them for our pets. So it's estimated that this is startling. Over 60% of pets are overweight.
60%?
Yeah.
Australia-wide.
And I think actually possibly worldwide, because America is just as bad as Australia when it comes to overweight pets as well. So, and part of that is just that they're not getting the right activity levels. Mm. They're also not getting the right food. So... there is lots of different things coming out at the moment. So a few of them are one's called the Whistle. There's Voice. There's Hayrex. There's FitBark. Many of these wearable technologies are actually still in their early stages. So a lot of them are going through Kickstarters at the moment or just finished their Kickstarters and being in production. Mm-hmm. Ensuring that our pets are getting the right amount of exercise during the day. They're lightweight. Now, Oz, you were asking me earlier about this. How do your pets wear them? Do they wear them around their wrist?
Yes.
Maybe on their tail? No, most of them that are being developed are actually for their collar. So not as an a different collar, but actually as an attachment onto the collar as well. Tracking and building a profile of your dog's behavior. So a lot of them that are coming out are sort of measuring things from how active your dog is, sleep, so how often they're sleeping. Scratching is another one. So they're able to distinguish the sort of movement of scratching to see, you know, oh, maybe they're a bit itchy. One of them will actually email you and say, your dog was itching a lot yesterday. Have you been up to date with their flea treatments?
Okay, so it's to highlight that sort of stuff, or if they've got an injury? Or
yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So it's great for, say, people that work full-time and want to keep an eye on their pets. Mm. So you can actually log on via, say, the website or via a smartphone app and see, okay, what is my pet doing during the day? Are they supposed to be recovering from injury and not moving about and they're running around the house? Or are they scratching a lot? Are they snoozing a lot? Yeah. Why are they running around the backyard so much? And it's also, it builds a profile and it tailors directly to your pet as well. So you can then say, okay, my pet's had this, my pet's done this. Their activity levels might decline, like they might be really active and then all of a sudden they're sleeping a lot. You can take that to your vet and say, look, this is what's been happening over the last few days. Is there something wrong that we can check for? So yeah, there's a couple of them that have come out recently, and yeah, looking at sleep quality, other health issues and that kind of stuff. So there's plenty happening. So you
can
check
really interesting.
Out.
And it's not just sort of to encourage mobility and exercise and that sort of thing, but also monitoring if your pet has, you know, come back home after surgery and you just want to make sure that, you know,
they're recovering
properly. They're recovering
properly.
Okay.
That's right. And I mean, you can then take that down to your vet and say, hey, look, you know, this is what's happening.
Awesome.
And yeah, so that's definitely great. And there's also one that is coming out, which is a combination of the tracker as well as a GPS.
And you'll be trialing one of them pretty soon.
So I will let you all know how that goes. Now, all throughout the program today, we have been talking about renting with pets. Now, we received a message in from Matt and James from Yarraville who wanted to share their story about what happened when 3 years ago their home was actually damaged by a fire. They have two cats that needed temporary accommodation along with themselves, and they were finding it quite difficult to find somewhere as they needed a furnished property. So the cats spent the first 2 weeks at the pets hotel. So there is an option as well that you can temporary board them somewhere whilst they were looking for a property that they could rent. Their circumstances were outlined in the applications but were rejected on a number of occasions before they were actually accepted for an apartment. But the landlord did offer for them to substantially increase the rent to pay for that. Now, they were desperate to have the cats back with them. They accepted the property. On returning back to their home after the reconstruction was complete, the agent actually commented that you would never have known that cats were kept in the rental due to the cats and property being well looked after.
Well, there you go. Like, you know, so many of pet owners are super responsible.
And super diligent and about super making diligent. Sure that, you know, they are looking after your property. So to our landlords out there, don't be dodgy when it comes to pet
don't
owners.
Don't try and take advantage. It sounds, yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that, you know, that you had that trouble. But that's a really good point about pets hotels. And also, you know, sometimes, you know, if you've got close family or friends, they can help you out there too.
So thank you so much, Matt and James, for sending in that message. It's great to hear people's firsthand experiences as well. Now, Oz, if you're looking for something to do in this weekend and you are a dog lover, there is the dog day out at winter edition, because normally you have a lot of dogs day outs during summer but not during winter. This is at Swinburne University. It's their winter dog day out, a fun day out with your four-legged friend. Whereabouts?
Now, the winter dogs day out will be held at Swinburne University of Technology at Hawthorne, the campus there, on Sunday the 15th of June. So that's this Sunday. The event will be from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. and the best part of it, it'll be free.
And pets are welcome as well, as long as you are cleaning after them. So it's getting to know local pet businesses, your stalls, pet accessories, food information, and everything like that. Entry is free, as Oz said, for humans and their furry friends. Just to recap a couple of quick things from this week's show, Oz.
Yeah, look, if you are looking to rent, do take some time. So if you've got a pet, start early, start researching, start speaking to people, draw up a resume, capitalize on your creativity, and also get in touch with references, people that would be great to sort of put the good word in for your pet. Look up opportunities in getting a pet bond, and always, always be open and upfront with your property manager or agent, and organize face-to-face meetings.
If you missed anything on the show today, you can catch our podcast on joy.org.au and check out our Pet of the Week, Dreamweaver, on our website at dogshome.com. You've been listening to Pets Allowed. Don't forget to walk your dogs.
And pat your cats.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.